comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. And by the way, you do matter, you know. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't matter, and don't let anybody make you feel like you don't matter, because it's the people who think you don't matter who don't matter. Happy birthday to Dadumi. Dadumi. Now, you're probably saying, well, who is that? Well, Dadumi is, he is a songwriter. He is a music producer. And he produces and provides to us the majority of the music that you hear behind the video commercials on our TV station. And Dadumi lives in Ploiești, Romania. I have been there. I didn't know Dadumi at the time, but I have been there. And over the weekend, he had a birthday, so we want to wish him a happy birthday, and thanks, many thanks, for all the great music he provides for us to use here on the show. Are you subscribed to our free weekly newsletter? Well, you really ought to be. Ask yourself, let's see, it doesn't cost anything. It is very informative about what's going on with the show. It also has articles that are very interesting and important articles, and links to very interesting videos, audience feedback, and always a free download. And you got to ask yourself, if you're not subscribed, since it costs you nothing and you get everything, where's the genius in that? I mean, really, where's the genius in that? In order to subscribe, all you have to do is go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click where it says K-Files. I want to thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you for being with us Thursday and Friday night last week. I could not be here. I was intensely ill. And I'm recovering from a pretty severe tooth infection. The pain that goes with that is indescribable. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about because you've been through it, and it is just incredible, the intensity of the pain that goes with that. But I also had other symptoms. Wednesday night, I didn't think I was going to make it through the show, and then Thursday was an impossibility, so we had to do rebroadcasts, encore presentations of some great shows from the past, and I hope you enjoyed those. But I am glad to be back tonight, and we're going to be talking tonight with Samir Osmanagic, or Sam Osmanagic. People here in the United States, because we don't learn other languages very well, call him Sam. Thank you. over the course of several months, I've gotten a few emails, you know, they kind of trickle in, where someone is bringing up the subject of Osiris and bringing up questions about Osiris. Osiris is, of course, familiar to most people as the name of a very, very important Egyptian god. However, that's not his name. That's what the Greeks called him, but that is not his name. His name is either Osir or Osir. Depending on which part of Egypt you happen to be in, the pronunciation would change. Osir, Osir, but it was never Osiris. And that's a name that was given to this god by the Greek writers. Because the Greek language eventually became the trade language throughout the world, people became familiar with these stories about this god, but they became familiar because of Greek writings about this god, and the Greeks called him Osiris. That's, again, not his name. But I got several emails where people had some questions about Osiris, or they had some information about Osiris. People requesting that I do a show about Osiris. And then somebody sent me a link to a video during this week. Maybe it was the end of last week. But anyway, it was a link to a video where back in 1999, Zahi Hawass in Egypt, of course you're familiar with him, Zahi Hawass had decided to excavate this shaft that he had been looking at for a number of years. It's on the Giza Plateau. But it was all full of water, and he had never excavated it, but the water began to drop. And he decided in 1999, well, okay, the water's dropping. This is our chance. Let's get busy. The water is dropping, so we can pump out what remains, and we can excavate this. And it was an amazing excavation because Dr. Hawass announced to the world that he had found the tomb of Osiris. Herodotus talks about this shaft, only he misidentified it. He identified it as the tomb of Khufu, which is pretty interesting because there are people, you know, who for years tried to maintain that the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, was the resting place of Khufu, but we all know there was never anyone buried in the Great Pyramid. There never was a body there. It was never built as a burial place. But Herodotus talks about this shaft, and he says that that deep underground there in that shaft is the burial place of Khufu. As it turns out, Dr. Hawass says, no, that's not the case. This is the tomb of Osiris. So when I looked at that, and I saw the video, and someone sent me the link to it, saw the video. Next time I opened my email that day, I had another email from someone asking that I do a show on Osiris. And so when I say that this is the show where you matter, this is what we're talking about. So here it is. I'm going to give you my very best shot at Osiris. It's amazing how such a predominant god in the Egyptian pantheon of gods has so little information available about himself. But let me tell you a little bit about what we know from the Egyptians about Osiris, and then we're going to take a look at some pretty interesting photographs for those of you who are watching, and I'll describe them for those of you who are listening. Osiris, and I'll use the Greek name tonight because that is the name that everyone is familiar with. However, keep in mind it's not his name. His name is Osir or Asir, not Osiris, but we'll use the Greek name tonight. Osiris is the son of Ra, who is the chief god, and second only to him in authority. He is the husband of Isis. As it happens, he is also the brother of Isis. He is the father of Horus, and he was the chief of all gods here on earth. He was killed by another god, Set, sometimes spelled S-E-T, sometimes spelled S-E-T-H, but Set. And some of the information says that Set was one of his brothers. So he gets killed by Set. Isis goes looking for him. She's crazy in love with him. She goes looking for him. She finds his body, and she has him buried. The rebel forces against him, and remember, he was the chief of all the gods on earth, according to the Egyptian traditions. So the rebel forces among the gods find where she's buried him. They dig him up. They cut his body into 14 pieces, and they send a piece of his body to 14 different cities. And it's sort of a terrorist kind of effect, and the idea being, this is what we think of Osiris, and if you continue to worship him, what's happened to him, you see this piece of his body, that's going to happen to you. That's the message. So she sets out to, Isis sets out to gather up all the pieces. She has them bound together and buries his body again. Because of her tremendous love for him and because he was so unjustly assassinated, the gods decided to bring him back to life, and actually Isis performs a ceremony that brings him back to life long enough that he can cause her to become pregnant with Horus. And but then the gods decide he can be brought back to life, but not in this plane. He will now become the king of the underworld. Now, in our Judeo-Christian outlook on things, we tend to think of the underworld as being, you know, that's hell. It's a place where things are not good. Well, that was not the belief of the Egyptians, okay? The Egyptians believed that the underworld was simply where the spirits lived. They referred to it as the underworld. And it's where spirits lived after they're not living here in this plane any longer. So when I physically die, my spirit goes somewhere. Where does it go? The Egyptians said to the underworld, where Osiris is the king. And he decides what part of the underworld you get to live in. He is the judge that judges you. All right, so why would I be interested in Osiris for this show? Well, all the ancient writings of, I mean, every ancient civilization that had writings talk about a time when the gods, as they referred to them, descended to the earth and did some mighty things. This is a story. The story of Osiris is a story in the Egyptian tradition of the gods descending to the earth. Osiris was said to have lived and ruled a long time before Egypt became a nation. If you go back to the earliest known beginnings of the Egyptian nation, you know, before that you just had some villages out there. But when it became started becoming a nation, in their earliest writings, they talk about Osiris. And in their earliest writings, they speak of Osiris in terms of that being an ancient history. So we go back to what we think is ancient history, and their writings talk about Osiris as ancient history. When did Osiris live, if he lived? A long, long time before civilization in Egypt. One of the interesting things about Mr. Osiris is that everywhere you see his picture, he is green. Now, for those who are watching on our TV channel, let me point your attention to this picture. And for those of you listening, let me describe it for you. What we have here is a picture that is on the wall of a temple in Egypt. It's ancient, of course, and some all kinds of Egyptian hieroglyphs around it and so forth. But what we've got is we have a picture of two men. Now, one of these men, for those of you watching, the one on your right, is brown-skinned and is driving a chariot. Okay, you can see he's holding the reins of the chariot in his hands. See that? All right, now, the one on the left, that is Osiris. His skin is green. He's sitting, if you will, in the back seat of the chariot, being driven by his servant. And he has dark green skin. Everywhere you see pictures of Osiris, you see that he is depicted as having green skin. Well, I did a little research on that. Now, some of the legends say that Osiris was very tall, but I did a little bit of research on this green skin. And what's interesting is you run across these commentators about all things Egypt, and they'll say, well, the green is symbolic of him being the god of resurrection because green is the color of resurrection. And for most people, they read that and they go, oh, okay, I read it and I say, and what's your source on that? Was Osiris green-skinned and because of the story about his coming back to life, and because he has green skin, green became the color that represents resurrection? Is that possible? Is it possible that Osiris, being green, which sounds facetious to us, but that Osiris, being green and having the story told that he was resurrected from the dead, that the green color of Osiris becomes the symbol of resurrection. Instead of the other way around, as Egyptologists tell us, that he was depicted as green because that's the color of resurrection. The earliest stories of Osiris tell us he had green skin. Now, we've heard, you see, one of the things that, one of the theories that's out there is that Osiris, being a, quote, god, is actually extraterrestrial. Now, if extraterrestrials came to this planet and landed here, the primitive people of Earth at that time would have considered them to be gods. How do I know that? Because I listen to the way people right now in our high-tech age, which is really primitive, but in our so-called high-tech age, I hear people talk about extraterrestrials, and they say, well, anybody that can travel among the stars and that can get light years across the universe to here would have certainly, by this time, given up war. How do you know that? You are ascribing godlike qualities to extraterrestrials. Well, they're so advanced that they would have... Okay, well, let me ask you something. Now, compared to, say, the year 1800, would you say we are really advanced now compared to 1800? Yeah, we are. Have we given up war? Just because our technology, gadgets, and toys have become high-tech and more advanced, have we given up war? No. So I think it's a little bit certain that whatever primitive people were here at the time, whatever ancient people, maybe they weren't primitive, but ancient people were here at the time, if extraterrestrials descended to this planet, if they landed here, the people would surely have ascribed godlike qualities to them and would have said, oh, that's a god. When in fact, it may just be, you know, another human race that is more technologically advanced. Another human race from somewhere else, not from this planet. That's just more technologically advanced. We do this, as I said, we do the same thing now. I hear people say it all the time. I hear them say, well, you know, if the extraterrestrials can travel the universe, they will have given up all of this war and all of this greediness and all. You don't know that. But what you are doing is assuming and ascribing to extraterrestrials godlike qualities. They may be just like us, and their toys are a lot meaner than ours, a lot more high-tech than ours. I hope you're right if you think they've given up ideas of war, but what if you're not? The possibility exists. Nevertheless, the example stands. You ascribe to extraterrestrials godlike qualities. These people in ancient Egypt, so ancient that there are barely records of it, they did the same thing. Same thing in Sumeria. It's interesting, isn't it, that Sumeria starts up just boom, like that, as a full-blown civilization. You don't see any gradual growth from villages up into a full-blown civilization. They show up in Sumeria, bam, full-blown civilization, public schools, public libraries, drainage systems, plumbing systems, running water, 5,000 BC. And Egypt, right after them. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about this guy, Osiris. So, when we went away for break, I was making the point that people do ascribe to extraterrestrials godlike qualities. Even people who have never met an extraterrestrial ascribe to them godlike qualities. What about this green skin? Well, let's assume Osiris actually existed. Some of the stories about him say he was tall, and the pictures depict him that way. Some of the stories, all the stories, talk about him being green, and he is in command of all the gods on earth. So if we assume that he actually existed, and we assume the ancient astronaut theory that ancient astronauts, ancient extraterrestrials landed here on this planet in what is to us very ancient times, then what you have is really he's got a kind of a military rank. Ra is the top god, and then you've got Aser, Osiris, his son, whom he puts in charge of all the other gods deployed to this planet. Sounds a little bit like with the story that Zachariah Sitchin gave us of the Anunnaki. You have An or Anu, and then you have Enki and Enlil, the sons. Now, am I saying they're the same? No, I'm not. I'm just dealing with Osiris and pointing out that there are similarities in this story between Sumer and Egypt, and they're not far from each other. The Sumerian civilization fired off, and then very shortly after that, just a few years after that, the Egyptian civilization went whoop. That's spelled W-H-O-O-M-P, whoomp. And it's a good English word. I created it. And so something amazing happened in Sumer and in Egypt, just like that. All right, now, we have heard quite a number of stories, quite a number of accounts from witnesses who have had encounters with extraterrestrials whom they say have a sort of a bluish tint to their skin. Some of them have a grayish tint. Some of them have a sort of gray-brown tint to their skin. We have also heard of a group of extraterrestrials that have a bluish tint to their skin, who are tall. I have this thing about little green men. I don't like the phrase little green men because that was invented by, of course, the media. And then they use it, they toss it back at us. Well, Osiris was green, but he wasn't a little green man. He was depicted as being tall. So he's not a little green man. Also, if you'll study the pictures of Osiris that the Egyptians drew, the facial features are different from the Egyptian facial features. You'll notice differences, particularly the nose. It's different. So let's assume that the story, the basic story, is that extraterrestrials landed and Aser is put in charge of all the other extraterrestrials deployed to this planet. The stories about him say that he was a very just, very wise, and very good ruler, and that he brought civilization to the people. He was responsible for bringing civilized living and civilization to the people. He improved their life and their lifestyles. And so they revere him. And then there's the story of his murder, dismemberment, and resurrection. Now you might say, well, I don't believe any of that. Nobody's asking you to. I'm telling you that's what the story is. And so because of this story of his ordeal, his assassination, and then his dismemberment, and then his resurrection, because of that, he becomes eventually the most predominantly worshipped deity in the Egyptian pantheon of deities. Where was his final resting place? Where was his tomb? Because he was not allowed, he was brought back to life in the netherworld, in the underworld. so the body still had to be buried somewhere. Where was that? Well, for a long time, people were saying that it was in Abydos, because there is, at Abydos, there is the temple of Seti. And adjacent to the temple of Seti is an underground chamber, or it used to be underground. It's been excavated now, and it's not underground now. You still have to go down steps to get into it. But this big underground chamber called the Osirion. And it was part of the worship of Osiris. And so for a long time, people were saying, that's the burial place of Osiris. It's at Abydos. And we'll get into that in just a moment. I'll show you pictures of it. But it was at Abydos. Well, in 1999, as I stated, there's this shaft that was, it's located on Giza. For those who are looking at our TV feed, it's located where the Red Star is. You have Khufu's Pyramid, which is the Great Pyramid, and then the middle pyramid is called Khafre's Pyramid. And there is a causeway that goes from Khafre's Pyramid out toward the Sphinx. There is a shaft that is in that causeway. In that causeway, there's a shaft that goes straight down. And it was full of water, and so nobody ever really tried to excavate it. But when the water began to drop in 1999, Zahi Hawass said, now's our chance. Let's see what's here. And we will discover what's there. Because what he found was a shaft that goes down to a first level. And then you sort of walk to the right, and the shaft continues then down to the second level. In that second level, there are six chambers. Six rooms carved out of the stone. And we don't know exactly what all that's about. But in one corner of that second level, the shaft goes down again. And when you get down to where it goes, you are down to what Zahi Hawass said is the tomb of Osiris. Now, the reason that Zahi Hawass said it's the tomb of Osiris, there are several reasons. One is, and those who are watching on TV can see the picture in the upper right-hand corner, this is an artist's reconstruction of what they found down in the tomb. There are four pillars, and they're not round, they're not columns, they're just four tall blocks of granite, inscribed with hieroglyphics. In the center of that, in the center of that square, there is another shaft, if you will, that goes down further, in which there was a large sarcophagus. That sarcophagus had a bluestone lid. Now, completely around these four pillars, there is carved out in the stone a channel full of water, making this grave site look like an island. And in fact, that is what Herodotus had written about. That's what Herodotus had said. He simply got the wrong person in the tomb. He said it was Khufu. Hawass says, that's the tomb of Osiris. Now, a lot of people have been saying that this place at Abydos was the tomb of Osiris. And the fact is, nobody really knew, and nobody knows today, what is the real function of the Osirion, which is the underground structure, the underground chamber at Abydos. And as I said, we'll take a look at that here in just a moment. But when they raised the lid of that sarcophagus, they raised it up out of the out of that further depression, that further, the rock is just carved out deeper, right in the middle of that square. There's a square with the four pillars on each corner of the square. And then you have water running around it, so it's like an island. Okay, but right in the center of that square, it's carved out further, deeper. And that's where the sarcophagus was. And when they raised it, you can see the blue hue of the sarcophagus. Interesting thing about that sarcophagus lid measures 9 feet. It's 9 feet long. So I did a little bit of research on that to see, because, you know, we have some stories that Osiris was, in fact, very tall. There are people that say, well, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. Other people say he never existed. But obviously in a box that's 9 feet long, you could put a pretty tall body. Now, you probably, because of the width of the walls of the sarcophagus, probably about an 8 foot tall person would be about the tallest you could put in there. However, the sarcophagus for King Tut was about the same length. It was about 9 feet long as well. And King Tut himself has been measured, and they say he was about 5 feet 6 inches tall. So Osiris could be 5 feet 6 inches tall, or maybe as tall as 8 feet. It's a little bit interesting that the lid to this sarcophagus has a slight blue hue to it. And I wonder if, in fact, that was the color of Osiris. I wonder if Osiris, instead of being green, was one of these blue extraterrestrials that we've heard about. Maybe not. Maybe he was green. But I found that to be just a little bit interesting. Now, we're going to step away for break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at what Dr. Hawass says he thinks about this tomb. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking this evening about Osiris. Look, we don't know for sure whether Osiris ever actually existed. But when you have ancient civilizations living that close to each other, both geographically and in time, and they tell basically the same story about beings who came from out there and descended to Earth, and the people recognize them as gods, and they tell basically the same family structure, and the same basic stories about these, quote, gods. Then, you know, you sort of have to think maybe there is some kernel of truth in all of this. Maybe this person, Osir, actually existed. And is it possible that he had green skin? Yeah, I think it's possible, because we've got credible accounts from people who have had encounters with extraterrestrials who do have some sort of different pigment, different color in their skin. Just think here on Earth, the different colors we have. Okay? Now, think about it. Think of the white people. Okay? We'll talk about other people in a minute. I'm going to talk about white people first because I are one. Think of the different shades we come in. Now, me, I'm sort of glow-in-the-dark fluorescent white. You could park me next to the sun. I wouldn't get a suntan. I don't tan. Okay? There are other, quote, white people who do tan. And look at all, and they get very dark, and think of all the different shades in between. Now, the same thing is true of black people. There's some black people that are very, very black. Some people that are not so black. Some that are sort of like coffee with milk, sort of that, you know, light chocolate color. And then some that are very nearly white. Think of the Native Americans. Same thing. The variations in color. Think of Asian people. All different shades. Everything from very light to very dark. Different shades. Why would we think that extraterrestrials would be any different? Granted, I don't know any of any earth dwellers that are blue or that are green, but someone coming from another planet somewhere else in the solar system, that might be normal out there. And I would suspect they would come in all shades as well. Okay, now, I want to take you to what Dr. Hawass says after finding this tomb of Osiris. He took a news crew down into this tomb, and you can see that video. It's available out there. This happened back in late 1999, early 2000. And then he wrote an article about it. And here is part of what he had to say. He said, there is no evidence that the shaft was ever used for a royal burial. It is my belief, I like that word, I'm glad he was honest. It is my belief that it was intended as a symbolic tomb for Osiris, the god of the underworld. The channel surrounding the emplacement in the lowest level seems to have been deliberately designed so that groundwater would fill it, making the emplacement in the center into sort of an island. So Dr. Hawass says, you know, I don't think this was ever used as an actual burial place. One of the things that they don't tell us, every place you read about the excavations of this shaft, and even the video when you watch it, doesn't address what did they find when they lifted the lid off of that sarcophagus. It is today apparently empty because there are pictures of it empty. The sarcophagus is down in the lowest pit. Remember, there's a square with four pillars that have hieroglyphs carved into them. And in the center of that square, there is another pit dug further down into the earth. Now, this is about 100 feet down underground. Okay, so it's not a shallow grave here. And this sarcophagus is in that lowest pit. Right in the center of that square, there's that pit further down, carved further down into the rock. And down there is where the sarcophagus is. They lifted the lid out of there, but the sarcophagus is still down in there, and there are pictures that peer off into that lower pit, and it's empty. But whenever you read about the excavation of that, and when you read about taking that lid off
of the sarcophagus, nobody says what they found. Nobody says, well, it was empty, or, well, we did find a skeleton down there. Nobody says. Well, you know me and black holes in information, right? That gets my attention. When you go to all this trouble to excavate straight down for 100 feet, and you find this amazing tomb of Osiris, and you lift this 9-foot blue sarcophagus lid out, and then you stop your narration right there, and you don't tell us, what did you find? I have to wonder why. Why? I think if they had found the skeleton of Osiris in there, they would tell us. I think that would, you talk about major, major tourist money for Egypt. Finding the skeleton of Osiris, they would have announced it. I think if they opened it and found it empty, they would tell you that. I think they would say, we lifted the lid, didn't know what we would find, but what we found was nothing. It was empty. When they don't even address it, my mind jumps way out there on the edge and says, aha, they must have found something else. So it wasn't a skeleton, and it wasn't empty. They must have found something else. What did they find? Well, I don't know what they found, but the black hole in the information indicates to me they did find something. Something they don't want to tell you, something they don't want to talk about. They didn't find a skeleton, or they would tell you. That would be, look, do you know how many people spend tons and tons of money to go see the mummies and of the pharaohs that are in the museum in Egypt? Do you know how many people spend tons and tons of money to go see those ancient artifacts and those ancient places? Man, if they found the skeleton of Osiris, it would have been all over the news, every headline, every paper. It would have been on every radio station and TV station, but it wasn't. And instead of saying, okay, we found a skeleton, or we didn't find anything, it was empty, they simply stopped the narration right there. And then it turns to this. It turns to what I just read just a moment ago from Dr. Hawass. Well, there's no evidence that the shaft was ever used for a royal burial. And then he goes on. All right, well, let me talk a little bit about that. He says this was a symbolic tomb for Osiris. All right, remember when I told you about the Osirion in Abydos attached to the Temple of Seti? Well, we're going to step away for break, and when we come back, I'm going to show you the floor plan of that. I'm going to show you the Temple of Seti and describe it for you who are listening, and I'm going to show you something else from Abydos. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about Osiris this evening. Those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. And my sincere sympathy for whatever has kept you away from the first hour. Now, I mentioned before we went to break that I was going to take you to Abydos now. Abydos is the center of the worship of Osiris. Some people call it the Osirian cult. But the worship of Osiris is centered at Abydos. The Temple of Seti was built, and some people say that Seti constructed the temple and the Osirion both. And I did a little reading on that, and there are a number of archaeologists that point out that the Osirion is of a much, 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 much more ancient construction. But what we're looking at on the TV screen, I shall describe now for those who are listening. On the left side, we have the floor plan, if you will, of the temple and the Osirion. In the upper right corner of your screen is a frontal picture of the Temple of Seti. It's a very modern-looking building, actually. And it's got nice steps. And by nice, I mean they're very well-crafted, modern-looking steps that go up to the plateau, or basic foundation, I guess you could say. And then further back on that plateau is the temple itself. Very modern-looking building. And, of course, we know it's not modern. If you get the time, you'll want to go on the Internet and just do a search for photos of the Temple of Seti, S-E-T-I. Or you can just do Temples at Abydos, A-B-Y-D-O-S. And you'll see some pictures of the inside of this place, and it's magnificent. I mean, it is magnificent. And then there's a picture in the lower right corner we'll talk about in a minute. So back to the floor plan. Those who are watching see that there is an area shaded in green. I'm the one who put the shading on this. So this area shaded in green is the Osirion. And it's actually underground. Now, these days, it's not. It's been exposed by excavation. But it was underground. And you can see there's a pathway, a hallway leading from the outer edge of the temple grounds to the Osirion. And the green area is what's underground. All right, now, the red or light red area, that's the temple. It's L-shaped. And they are right up against each other. So Seti built his temple in honor of Osiris and built it right up next to the Osirion, but the Osirion is underground. And, you know, it's got rooms and chambers, and nobody really knows what went on there. Nobody really knows what it was for. And then you have the Temple of Seti. Well, for a number of years, people have been saying, well, that's the tomb of Osiris. It's not a tomb. Never was a tomb. Kind of like the pyramid, the Great Pyramid. Never was a tomb. There was never a body there. And the Osirion, yes, it has to do with Osiris. No, it never was a tomb. Remember, this is at Abydos, right? It's the center of the worship of Osiris. Think of it like this. What is, for people who are Roman Catholic, what is the center of their world? The Vatican. And where is it? It's in Rome. Okay? That's the center of the Roman Catholic religion. Abydos, if you will, was kind of like the Vatican, but I'm using it as an example. It was, the religion was nothing like the Roman Catholic. But it served for the worshipers of Osiris the same sort of place in their religion as the Vatican serves for Roman Catholics. And so here we have the Temple of Seti built right up next to the Osirion. It's in Abydos. And what else did we find in Abydos? Well, the picture in the lower right corner is a picture that all of you have seen. It's a picture of that frieze from up at the top near the ceiling in the temple in Abydos, in this Temple of Seti. And what's there is a carving of what looks like a helicopter, something that looks like what we would call a UFO, a flying saucer, something that looks like a modern jet, and something that looks like possibly a submarine. Now, I've read all kinds of articles where people say, no, that's not what that is. Really, it's this, it's that, it's this, it's that. And nobody ever gives really a convincing explanation for any of it. Let me explain why it's not convincing. The one that looks like a UFO, a flying saucer, they say, well, that's because that you had a carving of you know, this figure, and then they chiseled that out and carved something else there, and they explain to you what it's supposed to be, if, you know, what word that's supposed to be in Egyptian. Okay, I can buy that for one figure in that small frieze. Explain to me the helicopter. Explain to me the jet. Explain to me the submarine. Here we've got four things all in one small area that are pictures of what we recognize. It's not, it doesn't sort of look like a helicopter. Dadgummit, it's a helicopter. It doesn't sort of look like a jet. It's a jet. So if you give me an explanation for one of these, which is, you know, the one that looks like a flying saucer, okay, I can buy that there could be that kind of situation could explain one of these. But you want me to believe that it explains four of these in one small area in a temple, one small block of carving? Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So what we wind up with is we wind up with the Temple of Seti bumped right up next to the Osirion in Abydos, which is the Vatican, if you will, for the worship of Osiris, and also a place where we have carvings of aircraft. Highly advanced aircraft. All of it right there together at the center of the worship of Osiris. And Osiris is pictured as being tall, and he is pictured as being green. Now, is it possible that these ancient people were not just making stuff up? Is it possible that they were telling the absolute truth as they experienced it? Is it possible that extraterrestrials landed on this planet? They had a different pigmentation, or at least some of them did, a different pigmentation from people on the planet. Is it possible that, you know, they were referred to as gods because of the high-tech stuff that they brought? Is it possible that the ancient Egyptians actually saw these gods flying machines, and that they chiseled into that temple down there where you have the Vatican of Osiris worship. You have the center of Osiris worship. They chiseled into that temple depictions of those flying machines because they're associated with Osiris. Is that possible? Well, I think it probably is possible. There are people who will say, well, how can anyone that's reasonable and rational buy any of this? Nobody's asking you to buy anything. On the other hand, upon what basis would you not accept absolute, cold, hard fact? We do have some cold, hard fact here. One cold, hard fact is that the story of Osiris is a story that from its earliest appearance in Egypt talked about an ancient time. Another cold, hard fact, from the beginning, Osiris is talked about as having a green pigment to his skin. Now, whether you think that's even possible, you think that's beside the point. Cold, hard fact. The people talked about him having a green pigment to his skin and that he was tall. A cold, hard fact. The center of Osiris worship, the Vatican for Osiris worship, is in Abydos at the Temple of Seti, which is right up next to the Osirion, and this is the place where we find the carvings of the flying machines. So nobody's asking you to buy anything, but upon what basis will you disregard, toss out, and completely ignore the cold, hard facts? If you say, well, I don't think there ever were gods, okay. And you say, I don't think there ever was a green god, okay. And you say, I think the whole story is made up, okay. Now explain the flying machines carved into that temple. How did the Egyptians know what a helicopter looked like? Helicopters are a very recent invention. How did they know what a jet airplane looked like? That's a very recent invention. So explain that. Upon what basis would you toss out the evidence? We're going to open up the telephone lines and allow you to interact with me. And maybe you can tell me I'm all wet. I'm not saying I believe that Osiris was one of these gods. I'm saying the evidence that is available says that. The evidence that is available says that right there at the center of the Osiris worship, right there, those people knew something about advanced flying machines. They knew what they looked like because they carved pictures of them. You know, they didn't have video and videotape. They didn't have that. So when you look at their drawings and their carvings, you're looking at their version of video. It's sort of like courtroom reporters. You know, they don't allow cameras in the courtroom sometimes. And so there's an artist that goes in there and sketches what's going on. And that's what you've got to rely on because they didn't allow the video camera in. Now, to say, well, he's just a drawing and a myth, that's like saying the defendant in a courtroom artist's sketch. It's like saying the defendant probably really didn't exist. The artist just put that in. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Stefan in Quebec City, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing well, Stefan. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic show. I've been hoping for an Osiris theme program with you for a long time. I just haven't suggested it, so it's really a nice surprise tonight.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Just a quick observation, well, actually two, is that, and it's just pure speculation, but I mean, if there are over 138 pyramids in Egypt, and if the Great Pyramid is the oldest and the best built, and if Osiris is the oldest and most powerful god in Egypt, I wonder if Osiris actually built the pyramid.
Well, you know, that does make some sense because the location of this tomb of Osiris is right there on the Giza Plateau between the Sphinx and Khafre's pyramid.
Ah.
So if you look at the sketch or the drawing of the Giza Plateau, you see the three big pyramids, and of course there's some little smaller pyramids and stuff, but you see the three big pyramids and the Sphinx, and in the center of it all is the Osiris tomb.
Huh. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you able to see the show tonight?
No, Kevin, I'm actually sculpting, so I'm listening, but I just had to phone in.
Yeah, well, you'll want to be sure and watch it maybe tomorrow because you'll see I've got a picture graphic up right now that shows the location of the tomb. So you have, you know how the three pyramids are sort of in line but kind of offset from each other?
Yeah, like the Belt of Orion, yep.
Right. Okay, the center pyramid is Khafre's pyramid, okay? And in front of it is a causeway that goes to the Sphinx. On that causeway, right in the center of this whole arrangement, right in the center is where that red star is. So if you're walking from Khafre's pyramid down the causeway to the Sphinx, you would have to step around this shaft or fall into it. It's right in the center.
Wow. Kevin, there's one more observation I'd like to make, and it's actually just a comment, actually.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a god that were to appear here now in today's time,
mm-hmm.
and if that god lived amongst us for, I don't know, let's say 200 years, can give him a nice long lifespan.
Yeah.
Once that god died, why would we put his body locally? I mean, wouldn't his body be so precious that we would hide it from everybody? You know, like it just seems to me odd that they would actually even put his body in Egypt. If I were around at that time, I would have said, heck, let's take him over to China or somewhere.
Well, I don't know because, you know, we weren't there, so we don't know how they would have been thinking about it. On the other hand, if he built those pyramids, then perhaps you would want him to be buried right there at the three great buildings that, or if he built just the Great Pyramid, you'd want him to be buried right there near his greatest work.
Boy, that would make him the prime target for any grave robbers, wouldn't it?
They flooded the shaft.
Right. Yeah.
Now, look, let me tell you something. When Hawass says, I think this was just a symbolic tomb, I really have to wonder, you know, why would you say you think it's symbolic? It's 100 feet down, three levels. One level, the middle level, has six chambers, and we don't know what that was for. And so this thing's 100 feet down. It's elaborately built, and it's got this channel around the central area where the sarcophagus was located. Sarcophagus, you go to the third level, the lowest level, and then right in the center of that, there's a pit dug further down, a square hole chiseled further down, maybe 20 feet further down. And the sarcophagus was down in that. Now, let's stand on that square. In the middle of that square is the hole where the sarcophagus is. We're standing on that square. All the way around that square is a channel chiseled in the stone full of water. So it's like an island. Let me tell you something. The first emperor of China was buried in such a tomb. The first emperor of China was buried in a tomb where his body was laid right in the center of a map of all of his empire. And all the way around that map, there is a river of mercury.
Of mercury?
Of mercury.
Whoa.
Okay, now, that's the first emperor of China. That sounds a whole lot like this tomb of Osiris, doesn't it? Where we've got this river.
And there, of course, there are also pyramids in China.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating show. I'm looking forward to hearing what other callers might contribute to this. Thanks, Kevin.
Stephen,
much appreciated.
Thank you for the call. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. And if you need to call me toll-free, you may do so. It is 888-223-4599. That works in the USA and Canada. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada and you don't want to make the international long-distance call, you don't have to. I don't have a toll-free number for you, but what I do have is the flash message option on my website. So all you need to do is go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and then you click, you scroll down where you see the picture about tonight's show. On the right side of that's a link that says flash message. Just click that. And let's see, Ross in the United Kingdom has sent me a flash message. He says, if they knew about aircraft, helicopters, and other recognizable high-tech stuff, wouldn't they have some other way of recording their knowledge other than carvings on tombs? Some sort of ancient computer disk or data storage devices. Maybe there is, and we're just not told about it. You know, that's possible, Ross. However, I would suspect that their society was very, very much like our society. And they saw things that they did not have access to. Okay? They would have been able, if there were helicopters, they would have seen them. If there were jet aircraft, they would have seen them. If there were flying discs, they would have seen them, and so forth. Now, that doesn't mean that the common people had access to it. The gods had access to that. So it would be the gods' home movies we would want to be seeing. They would be the ones who would have had some means of recording what was going on. But the common people here on Earth, just because they saw these things doesn't mean they had access to these things. So I think that's why they would have carved them. On the other hand, you make a good point. It is possible that there are some kind of discs or something that could be played back, and we just don't know about it. I think that's possible. However, I think it's more likely they just saw these things and didn't have access to them. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I received a flash message from, I believe it's Jeff, in Australia. And he says, the video's not working in Australia, Kevin. The message says you're off air. Well, if you're on my site and you click my links, we're on the air. On the other hand, if you've made a habit of going to Ustream and you did not hear my announcement at the beginning of the show, then, we're not at Ustream. We've got a new video stream that we're testing out tonight, and I would recommend it. Go to kevinsmithshow.com and click where it says watch, and You're good to go. You're going to have to log in, but you're good to go. All right. What do you think, folks, about OSIRIS? I've given you the information we have. I think there's information missing. In 2000, Zahi Hawass said that, you know, they did this excavation. There are some chambers, or not chambers, but tunnels, very small tunnels, that lead out of this burial chamber, which he says he doesn't think is actually a burial chamber. He thinks it's a symbolic tomb. I have doubts about that. But there's been speculation that these tunnels may lead to the Great Pyramid or to the Sphinx. And I read up on what he had to say about that. They sent a kid, a small child, little boy, through the tunnel to see how far he could go. Couldn't go very far. He ran into some mud. They put some rovers in there, and they got a little further but ran into another bunch of mud. And then there was supposed to be a Japanese team coming in with a new type of rover, a more advanced rover, a robotic rover that they could send further up in there. And we've heard nothing since. I think it's curious that when you get to the raising of the sarcophagus lid, I think it is both interesting and significant that the narrative changes to what we think instead of completing the story. They don't tell us they found a skeleton, so I don't think they did. They don't tell us that it was empty, so I don't think it was. What do you think they could have found? Now, that down where the sarcophagus was, there was still water down in there. They drained it out enough to raise that lid. However, there are reports from people who worked in this excavation that it appears there was yet another lower level that they did not get to. Remember, this happened 10 years ago. 10 years ago. By now, they have had time to fully excavate this entire site. By now, they have had time to discover where those tunnels go to. They've had time to get to that lower level under the sarcophagus. And we're not hearing anything about it. One of the interesting things that took place, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for this? You better hang on to your hat, better strap yourself into your seat, make sure your trays are put away and your chair is in the upright position. Are you ready? When Hawass began the excavation of this shaft, they closed down the entire Giza Plateau, and they secured it with Egyptian military and U.S. military. Now, when I was international police, I worked with cops from all over the world. At one point, I worked with three Egyptian police officers, two of whom were on the presidential protection detail. They were assigned to a mission that I was working in. We became friends. But back home, they did what the Secret Service does for the president here in the United States. At home, they were presidential protection for President Mubarak. So these are not dumb guys. This is cream of the crop. My point is that the police in Egypt are not inept. The police in Egypt are not dumb. I know from working with people, police from Egypt, I know they're very sharp people. So when you needed security around the archaeological site as they were excavating this tomb, every normal thing would tell you that you would put the police out there to keep the crowds back. But that isn't what happened. What happened is they shut the entire Giza Plateau down, and they surrounded it with Egyptian military and American military. Why? What was going on? Would you do that for something that's just a symbolic tomb? Ask yourself, don't you think that's another black hole in the information? Why was any military there? And furthermore, why Egyptian and American military? And they had the entire Giza Plateau shut down while they were doing the excavation. Why would you not put police out there? Like I said, these guys are not stupid. The Egyptian police are good police, well-trained police. They're sharp. Why wouldn't you put the police out there? Well, they didn't do that. They put the army, the Egyptian army and American army, around the Giza Plateau and shut it down. For a symbolic tomb of Osiris? Give me a freaking break. That's nuts. There's something more to this shaft. There's something more than what we've been told. And for those who are watching, I'm going to put it back up on the screen. In the upper left corner, you can see a cutaway diagram of this shaft. Okay? It goes down 100 feet. There's something more and very much more mysterious about this tomb of Osiris. It has to be something more than just a symbolic tomb of Osiris. I don't buy that. I don't buy it at all. And look, I don't buy it because it's right there at the Giza Plateau. As far as we know, it's the only tomb on the Giza Plateau. Nobody was buried in any of those three pyramids. And yet, here's a tomb. The only tomb, the only one on Giza Plateau. Secondly, I don't think it's symbolic because of the fact that it was so elaborate. And that because the sarcophagus, they took such elaborate care to make sure the sarcophagus was virtually impossible for anybody to get to it. Another reason I don't think it's symbolic is because when they raise the lid, the narrative changes. When they raise the lid on that sarcophagus, the narrative changes. They don't tell you what they found in the sarcophagus. They change the subject. Another reason I don't think it's symbolic is because they didn't put police around the excavation to protect what was going on. They brought in the military from Egypt and America to shut down the entire Giza Plateau complex and kept everybody back away from it. So if you had gone to the Giza Plateau during that period of time, you want to go visit the pyramids, you want to see the Sphinx, and sorry, Charlie, you would have been met either by an Egyptian army, Egyptian soldier, or you would have been met by an American soldier. American and Egyptian army securing the plateau. What's up down there in that shaft? What's up? What is really the story of the tomb of Osiris? One of the stories was that Osiris was actually, and this is really way out there, I'll admit this. One of the stories is that Osiris was actually put into sort of a suspended animation. It was not actually physically dead. And that there's some sort of purpose for that. Different people have different stories about what the purpose for that was. But that he was in this suspended animation, and that he would be awakened from his, I guess you could say, almost a hibernation when the time was right, and then he would be back among us alive and well. Okay, what if that's the case? What if that one's true? Don't know if it is, but what if? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Leslie, and I'm calling from Oregon.
Hello, Leslie.
Hi. I was wondering, you mentioned that at the time, you know, when they had the American and the Egyptian, the military that was guarding it, was there anything else going on in the world? You know how you hear about things happening to, what do you say, like, you know, make us look the other way? Because or was it just not publicized, you know, about, you know, the military protecting it? Because I haven't heard anything about that before.
Well, at the time when this excavation took place, we had not had 911. So we were not in Afghanistan. We were not in Iraq. Okay, this is pre-911. I don't know of any other major things we had going on at this particular time. We had just finished with Gulf War One. Okay, so Gulf War One was over. We were not yet, we had not had 911, and therefore we were not yet into Afghanistan or Iraq. So I don't think there was anything else big happening.
This is me just speculating here, but I wonder if whatever it was they found, if, because I mean, I know I've heard before about people saying that, you know, we might be in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, for reasons other than weapons of mass destruction or oil. If they found something and then they realized, oh, there could be more over, you know, like over there and Iraq or something. But, I mean, that's just me.
Yeah, well, it could be. Leslie, do you want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, hang in there. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening about the tomb of Osiris and about who is Osiris and the mystery surrounding this tomb. On the telephone with us from Oregon is Leslie. And Leslie, you had just started to make a statement and we had to go to break. I want to give you the opportunity to make that statement again.
I was mentioning that, and again, this is just me, you know, speculating that maybe whatever it was that they, or, you know, if they did, you know, find something in there at the time, you know, when all the military presence was there, maybe whatever it was that they found led them to believe that maybe there'd be something else, like maybe over in Iraq or Afghanistan, maybe, I don't know if technology or what, but, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know.
Well, I think you make a good point. Of course, we don't know certainly. But when we don't have all the data, all speculation is valid. We've heard stories, rumors that Saddam Hussein was about to get his hands on Stargate. And that, and we do know that there was a German archaeological team digging furiously in southern Iraq, and that the very first place we took over was that site. So,
really?
I don't know if the rumors about a Stargate are real. We've had people who have said they've asserted that they know and that they're in a position to know, and they've said there's a Stargate and we got it.
Did anyone, or did that German archaeology team, did they publish anything, or has anyone spoken to them? Oh.
No, the bombing started, they evacuated, and we took the site.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. And so, what you're speculating may be the case. Mm-hmm. One of the curious things, here's another black hole. You know those four pillars in the tomb that have hieroglyphs on it? Mm-hmm. Hawass has never shown pictures of that, and he has never given out any kind of translation of it. So, those pillars may have the kind of information that you're talking about.
Yeah. Or maybe maybe he wouldn't even be able to translate it. Maybe it's language something completely different. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. He says that it's hieroglyphics.
Oh.
And he reads hieroglyphics.
Oh, so he is saying it is hieroglyphics. So he's, but there's no pictures of it, huh?
No pictures of it. When they let the TV news crew go down, one of the things you will find absolutely missing from the video is any shot of those pillars.
Wow. That's strange.
It is. There's just a whole lot of black holes in this whole story about this shaft. And I'm persuaded there's something really big that was discovered there. Really big.
I agree with you.
And otherwise, you wouldn't have had the U.S. military and the Egyptian military shutting down the entire Giza Plateau.
Yeah.
And
yeah, especially, I know, like, you hear, like, there might be treasures and stuff, but like you were saying earlier, the Egyptian police, they're smart men and women. They could protect the president. They could protect some gold and statues and stuff. So to me, it seems like it had to have been something even more valuable.
Well, yeah, because if you can protect the president of the country, you certainly can protect a hole in the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were not used. It was the Egyptian army and the U.S. army.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's a great show tonight, Kevin.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for the call.
Oh, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. 623-444-5889 if you want to call. We have time for one quick call, and we'd love to know what you think about all of this stuff about Osiris and the tomb of Osiris and the mysteries surrounding it. But folks, I got to tell you, if the tomb of Osiris were purely symbolic, would you have your army and the American army protecting it while you excavate it? If it's purely symbolic, would you shut down the whole Giza Plateau? Or maybe you would pick a perimeter of maybe 30 yards around this shaft and put police as a security cordon around it. And then you and your archaeologist can excavate the shaft. I mean, if it's just symbolic, right? There's something more to this. It's bigger, much, much bigger than symbolic. Because it wasn't symbolic to put the army there. Two armies. It wasn't symbolic. There's something big about this discovery. Something of military importance. Else you would not have the military guarding it. I don't know what Hawass found, and he's not going to tell you. You know, there are things I really like about Dr. Hawass, and there are things I really don't like. I understand he does, his position is a government position. He works under the constraints of being a government employee. And so if there is something that his government says that's classified, they've got to shut up about it. He can't talk about it. I understand that. I guess I should thank Dr. Hawass. I guess really we all should thank Dr. Hawass. He showed us a little bit of what was found and provided glaring black holes in the information to draw, whether it was his purpose or not, it drew my attention, and I'm sure the attention of a great many other people, to the fact that there's something that's not being told to us. Did they find the body of Osiris in suspended animation? Did they find his craft, which was alleged to be a blue star? And I think it's the Hopi that talk about when the blue star appears again, certain changes will happen. Is that what they found? Did they? Is that what's down there beyond the sarcophagus? The blue star craft of Osiris? Is that it? I don't know. But I do know, as I stated with Leslie, I do know that if those cops are highly trained enough that they can protect the president of Egypt, they certainly are highly trained enough to protect a hole in the ground. The fact that you had the Egyptian army and the U.S. army protecting that hole in the ground by shutting down the entire Giza plateau tells me that whatever's in that hole in the ground, or whatever was in it, is of high military importance. It's a mystery. All of the stories about Osiris are mysteries. But that hole in the ground is not a symbolic burial chamber. It's not a symbolic tomb. Too much evidence says otherwise. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time. So long, everybody.